Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic, which is Russell Ridge Animal Hospital, and the people in it.
That's one of four, but yeah.
Yeah. So, this episode 88, once again, being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, once again, we are broadcasting from overcast, hazy, foggy Lawrenceville, Georgia, but the weather's not too bad.
It's not awful, but it's been very weird, right? So, it was like 70 yesterday, and then the day before, and now it's back to like 40.
Yeah, so this is Sunday the 13th that we're recording this 88th episode, and I was watching a little bit of football yesterday, and it was kind of weird. There was a game in Colorado, I think maybe Utah at Colorado, and there was snow on the field. Super weird.
Yeah.
Army-Navy game. It was so hazy and foggy, you could barely see the players. So, yeah, I guess we're pretty fortunate. It could be a lot worse around here.
Well, I actually, on my Facebook post, you know, like, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you post things, they usually bring up memories. So I had memories from 2017 that last week there was actually snow on the ground. So I had a picture of our front yard and our across the street neighbor's front yard who had like some blow up doll toys out there,
right.
Not toys, decorations, I guess. But they were snow covered, and the snow was like so heavy that it actually had deflated their blow ups. So it's kind of crazy. I thought with our summer that we would have a little harsher of a winter.
So speaking of front yard blow-ups, my spouse made the comment the other day that she felt like up in the north where she grew up, all of the front yard decorations were more molded plastic type of things.
Yes.
And then she feels like down here it's all blow-up. And I said, I
think that's a generation thing, not necessarily a regional thing.
So that's my thoughts, too. I told her, I said, you're remembering back when you were little. And she said, well, even, you know, a couple of years ago, we were going through the area. But I think most of those front yard decorations, in that case, are probably 20, 30 years old.
Yeah, they must be. So I don't think you can even find a plastic light. Yeah, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, right? So it'd be like a multicolored plastic, and it had like one bulb on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it would, you know, light up the whole thing.
Or some white plastic that's now like a brown plastic because it's so old and it's been out in the weather.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Hamilton Mill Parkway, when you go from Hamilton Mill from 85 to Old Town Buford, string, you know what I'm about to say, the string of houses along that road, there's probably, what, 6, 7, 8 of them?
Yes.
One's got an old tractor in the front yard, but they string out the gaudiest, tackiest Christmas decorations. It seems like it's for like a quarter of a mile.
It is quite a ways. You know, it has grown over many, many years.
Yeah, and they add every year.
Something like this happens in every city. But yeah, every year I feel like they get their neighbors to either decorate their house or let them decorate their house for them.
It's crazy. Now I used to shake my head and look, and now it's just part of the scenery, so I don't even pay attention.
It's kind of fun and exciting, though.
But anyway, 'tis the Christmas season. We did celebrate with our clinic Christmas meal. We mentioned previously that that's what we were doing as far as holiday celebration. Historically, we've gotten all of the clinics together, all the staff and plus ones, children at times, and had a big party, but we're a little more focused this year. So,
did you get any feedback?
A little. You know, I think tomorrow, hopefully, we'll get a little more feedback, but I thought the meal was excellent, and I enjoyed having conversations with everybody.
So, more specifically, I guess, so some of the younger people that I talked to during the meal said that they much more appreciated having like a dinner when it was just them, rather than having to worry about entertaining their boyfriend or significant other. Granted, these are not people with children. But I thought it was a very interesting comment that they enjoyed kind of, because we've always thought about like, oh, is there a way we can just do staff only? And then because it's the holiday season, like nobody wants to leave their family at home. And so we've always made it very family friendly. But I thought the couple of people that I talked to, and again, they're not families, they don't have children, but they found it.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, a little less stressful having to worry about what their significant other was doing.
Well, hopefully next year will be more normal when we get into this holiday season and we can cross that bridge when we get there. But yeah, maybe we'll learn something. Maybe we do more of a family event in the summer and something a little more intimate and personalized for the holidays. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll
maybe
see.
Maybe we do both. I don't know.
I don't know, but 2020 has definitely made everybody be innovative.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. You don't, I don't think, know who Charlie Pride is, do you?
I do know who Charlie Pride is.
Did you hear
Pride
that he passed away yesterday?
I did. Did you hear that he actually was like, he got the Willie Nelson's like Lifetime Achievement Award just before passing away at the CMAs this year?
The CMAs about a month ago, I think. And, I was going to watch the video. He and, who did he sing that song with?
At the CMAs?
There's another, black country and Western singer, I'll think of his name in a minute. He's got a
Darius,
duet out.
The younger guy?
No, not okay. Darius Rucker. Timmy Allen, I think his name is. Jimmy Allen.
Jimmy Allen.
He's really good. Anyway, yeah, I want to go back and watch that video. I think it'd be kind of cool. So, hate to hear that he passed, but he was definitely a legend. So, since we are doing a veterinary podcast, however.
You want to talk some animal stuff?
Let's redirect.
Okay.
We have a lot of articles to potentially talk about, but the word of the week, and I feel like maybe we had this previously. If we did, I apologize, but it's idiopathic.
I don't recall this one.
Okay. So I-D-I-O-P-A-T-H-I-C, idiopathic. The meaning of idiopathic is, really, it's, I mean, the medical meaning, a disease with an unknown cause or mechanism. And so we definitely have multiple diseases and syndromes in veterinary medicine that we will diagnose them as idiopathic, fill in the blank,
mm-hmm.
right? So it means we know what's going on, but we don't know the underlying cause.
So this is interesting because I know you're going to get very scientific and medical here, but I think a lot of people, when they look at their doctors or their veterinarians, they expect you to know exactly why. Always.
Yep.
And even when you give them, you know, a diagnosis of an idiopathic disease, it still doesn't always correlate. Like they can't, most, I'm going to say lay people can't understand that we still don't have a reason. And it's not just you as one practitioner or you as one veterinarian. It is the entire industry. Every veterinarian doesn't have an understanding.
So we talk about, you know, black and white versus gray. Mm-hmm. And yes, I think medicine and surgery at times can be very gray, and it's not, nothing is absolute. Don't take anything for granted, i.e. look at 2020, right? Who would have ever thought this could happen?
Yeah.
But yeah, to your point, oftentimes we're expected to hit the nail on the head and completely fix and cure and everything's just hunky-dory, and that is not medicine.
Yeah.
So breaking it down, idiopathic, idio kind of means self, one's own.
Mm-hmm.
So idiosyncrasies, it's idiot. We'll rehash that.
I never said the word idiot.
Anyway, idio kind of means relating to self or one's own. And then pathos has multiple meanings, I recall. But in this case, it's kind of suffering, like pathology, I don't know, any other pathogenic, other words like that. So the reason this is the word of the week is not necessarily because of a recent case, although we have plenty of pets with seizure disorder that we classify as idiopathic epilepsy, but there was an article that...
So go back. So not all seizures are idiopathic, right? So like not every pet who has a seizure has an idiopathic disease.
Yeah.
So there could be other underlying causes, which is why we do diagnostics.
Yes. So, you know, in people, they typically label a person that has seizures, maybe for insurance purposes, they code them as having seizure disorder as the broad spectrum term. I know this because my daughter has a seizure disorder.
Okay.
Right? So we kind of know why she has it, but it's somewhat idiopathic as well. But with pets, yes, if your pet has a seizure, which there's three parts of a seizure, the pre-ictal, the ictal, and the post-ictal. So ictal in this case means the seizure itself. So typically when a pet has a seizure, they're going to act a little different. and then they're going to have the active seizure, which that can look like a lot of different things as well, and then they're going to be a little bit off afterwards. And so we, from history, typically diagnose a seizure. We bring the pets in. We do a good physical exam. We look for any abnormalities to give us a clue as to why they had a seizure. Typically, we're looking at cranial nerves and other behavioral types of things. And then we are basically going to work them up non-invasively to look for anything that we can somewhat easily find that's causing the seizure.
So typically most places are going to do like standard of care, just a full blood panel, right? And yeah. So is that to look for toxins or?
Could be a toxin, okay. Right? So we're not going to see a toxin in the blood work, but we may see elevated liver enzymes, especially ALT. And then, you know, if that winds up falling down the road, like lowering, then we would come back and kind of assume that maybe we got exposed to something toxic. Was there something in the environment or not? We're also looking, you know, really for any organ failure. Definitely we see things such as hypoglycemia causing seizure disorders, mineral abnormalities, hyperparathyroidism, hypoparathyroidism can. So yeah, we're just trying to get a good baseline and see if there's anything going on outside the brain that might make the brain seize, right? And so really, a seizure is just the abnormal firing of the neurons in the brain to where they are out of control, and that's why there's such a different variation of mild to severe. So yes, we're doing routine blood work, make sure they have a negative heartworm test, although I don't think heartworms could specifically cause seizure disorder, but maybe it would affect the blood supply to the brain. And then fecal testing for parasites, whipworms can actually cause seizures. So yeah, we're looking for everything, and we typically would also do an EKG to kind of look at the heart, make sure there's no abnormal heartbeats, because actually cardiac disease, if you don't have enough blood supply going to the brain, can cause seizure disorders, or it can cause something that looks very much like a seizure. Right? Mm-hmm. So
this all started.
And that's called syncope, which cousin Chris, their little dog, has
so
syncope.
You have a family member with a dog with syncope.
Yeah.
Recently diagnosed.
Yeah,
you thought
it was seizures.
Seizures.
And, you know, they wind up going to, I think, a specialist who worked the dog up completely and found out it was syncopal episode. So.
Okay.
Anyway, gosh, that's a long explanation, but...
So basically all of this is because the article that you pulled says that epilepsy in dogs is harder on owners than we thought, but veterinarians can help.
Right.
So I don't know that it's harder than we thought. I don't know who's thinking about it, but any time I've ever seen or spoke to a client with a pet with a seizure, whether it's their first seizure or their fifth seizure or their 100th seizure, it is absolutely terrifying.
It's upsetting.
People get so upset over it. And I mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying, like, I never once thought that, oh, the client is not stressed over it. But it's absolutely upsetting to people. They are terrified. And this is where, again, that whole idiopathic thing comes in. Because they want to know why. What happened? Is my dog going to do this again? And, you know, unfortunately, you guys as veterinarians, sometimes it's a wait and see kind of frequency thing, yes?
Yeah, this is a really deep subject for sure. So, you know, backing up a little bit, if we can work the animal up for seizures, and if we can find the underlying cause and correct that, then oftentimes we can prevent future seizures. So that's why we're looking for it. That's why we just don't put them on anticonvulsants as a start. Because the goal of anticonvulsant therapy is not to completely eliminate seizures. It's to reduce the frequency and the severity.
Yes.
And so typically we're going to tell a client that, you know, we're going to hopefully get Fido, Fluffy, whoever it may be, better. Mm-hmm. We need to keep track of this. And, you know, that's kind of the goal, and also to not have any side effects. So, you know, that's the reason we work them up. I read the article, but I don't know that I got deep into what we can do. I just kind of, you know, thought it was an interesting subject. But if we can prevent the seizures, then the clientele does not have to, nor the pet has to deal with future episodes. But I think we can maybe explain to our clients, you know, what to expect. We can come up with a good treatment plan and monitoring plan. And then just kind of be there for them. I used to tell folks, you know, the only thing more terrifying and upsetting than your pet having a seizure is your daughter having a seizure. But I don't say that anymore because, as we know, pets are pretty much members of the family, and
Yeah,
you know
people definitely
they
equate
are
them that
looked at
way.
the same way. But it is very upsetting. I remember in Monroe, where I used to work, so this has been over 25 years ago. One night I went into a convenience store to get a Coke or something. I was heading from one call to the next, and I walked in, and the guy behind the counter, the clerk or whatever you would call him, who I'd seen before, all of a sudden he collapsed and started having a seizure, and it freaked me out. It just totally freaked me out. I knew what it was, but it was so upsetting.
Yeah, so seizures can be. I remember in high school, I went to a family dinner with a friend of mine, and their uncle was sitting at the table and, like, in the middle of dinner had a seizure. And it's terrifying because, again, there's really nothing you can do in the moment. I do believe in human medicine, and I'm totally uneducated in this aspect of things, but I do believe that people who have true seizure disorder, there are devices that they do wear or can wear to kind of help bring them out of a seizure. My mom has a friend who told her before, like, "Hey, if you ever see me having a seizure, just don't call 911, do this."
Oh, that's
And
cool.
I
I don't
feel
know that
like
I
it
was
was
aware
some
of that.
device on her chest somewhere. So again, I'm totally uneducated in all of that, but I think that human beings who do have seizures or they have seizure disorder, the thing for someone who's unaware is to call 911 because you're totally freaking out. But for them, it's somewhat more of a normal occurrence, and they know, hopefully, if they've been dealing with it, they know kind of when it's coming on. A lot of people can feel it, which is where we're kind of behind the eight ball with pets, right? Like, they can't tell you. They may have strange behaviors.
But that's kind of where I was going with that preictal. And again, we could talk about seizure disorder for probably 6 hours because it's really quite in depth. But if you can pick up on when your dog or cat is going to have a seizure, then you are a little more, you're more aware, and you can help them, and it doesn't freak you out. Our second English Mastiff that we had seizure disorder, and he was a great dog, super social. We would have people over to the house, and you could set your clock within 3 to 5 minutes of somebody coming over. He would get so excited, he'd run up to him, pet me, love me, love me. 3 to 5 minutes after they were there, he could tell he was about to have a seizure. He would start running towards kind of our mudroom area where one of his beds was, and right about when he would hit turn the corner, he would fall down and have a full-blown grandma seizure
Oh,
every
wow.
time.
That's
And
crazy.
so it was just crazy. He knew it, we knew it. It was so predictable.
We've had pets that have come into the practice that way, where we obviously aren't aware until their second visit because they come in the first time and just walking through the doors, the pet falls over and has a seizure.
And
It's
it's
terrifying the first time, but the second time we're like, okay. And
yeah.
so, just like 2020, you have to innovate, right? You have to start learning how to address the dog outside, just like with your dog and people coming over. I would assume you guys didn't always let him get that excited.
Correct. So
So.
we stopped inviting as many people over, and then we would put him, in our bedroom to keep him calm. But to your point, pets come in, we have, a handful that we know. They come in, they get super excited, they have a seizure. Back to people, we also know that many people with seizure disorder use pets to detect and alert them that they're about to have a seizure. So, most recently, dogs are being tested and trained to detect coronavirus, and I think that they're pretty accurate with that at this point. Drug sniffing dogs, bomb sniffing dogs, seizure detecting dogs. We talked about this, I think, within the first 5 or 6 episodes. Like, that's super interesting to me. I want to learn more. I just haven't taken the time. But that's pretty crazy I mean, pets are amazing.
They pretty much are.
They are getting many people through the craziness of coronavirus. They are doing all these medical things, sniffing all these things. They are pretty darn amazing for sure. So
So I think that's a great segue into one of the other articles that I pulled, right? So pets and how people depend on them and that kind of thing. So I pulled this interesting article, totally not veterinary specific or related, but President Biden, I guess, is that what we're calling him now?
President-elect. Is what I'm going to call him because the...
Joe Biden.
The Texas lawsuit, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Well, nonetheless, President-elect Joe Biden is, I guess at this point, set to take the White House with his two German shepherds and a cat. And so I found that super interesting. And this article is basically written on the fact that... they're trying to just highlight how important pets can be to presidents and the fact that pets not only provide companionship to the president and the family there, but it allows them like good PR. It softens them and gives them a better political image, which of course it does, right? Like,
sure. Yeah. We talk about pets on billboards. We talk about
everywhere
how they make you feel. And mm-hmm. yeah, can you picture Donald Trump with a cat in his arms up near his neck and face and him just love
if I were gonna see him with a pet, I swear it would be like a Chinese crested, like a hairless Chinese crested,
because of his hair.
Yes,
that's crazy.
Like they would have the same hairdos. That's the only thing I could see. But I don't know, I mean, it's very interesting to me that he doesn't have a pet. I can't sit here and name all the presidents that did or didn't, but this article went through and kind of listed out some of the families.
We're going to play pet or no pet, because I cannot picture Trump with a pet.
So,
period.
The Reagans, they had a pet. It was a King Charles Spaniel.
Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And so there's plenty of pictures and photographs of Nancy Reagan holding their pet.
George W. Bush had a Scotty.
W. Bush had a Scotty.
President Obama had a Portuguese water dog.
Yep, which right after... So it's very interesting to me because just like in movies, right? I do think that breeds tend to follow suit, or many people... I don't know if they idolize people or the pets that they see, but you know, if there's a hit movie and there is a specific breed of dog in the hit movie, right, suddenly we start seeing all of them. So same thing with like Portuguese water dogs. We have three or four that come here in our practice that are about 6 or 7, 8 years old that were obtained during President Obama's candidacy.
Yeah.
So I think that's super interesting. The Clintons, I guess, had a cat.
I didn't know that. I'm looking at the picture right now.
Yeah, black and white cat. The Coolidge family. So Calvin Coolidge, he and First Lady Grace Coolidge had a raccoon named Rebecca. I think that is so bizarre.
Wow. What year was that? Does it say?
No, it doesn't say.
I don't know.
It says that the First Lady, Lady Grace Coolidge, was given the raccoon as from a supporter. And suggested that it be served for Thanksgiving dinner, but instead, they kept it, I guess, as a pet.
A raccoon.
Yeah.
Could have had a turkey or something.
Very interesting. I don't know what raccoon tastes like. I certainly don't want to find out.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't think that it's a very elegant meal.
Huh.
Again, kind of just naming off things that I thought were interesting. So the Kennedys had a pony named Macaroni. Say that 5 times fast.
Wow.
And then there's a quote in the article from President Harry Truman that said, basically, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog.
Get a dog, huh?
And so I do think, I don't know the statistics, but I would think that there have been more dogs as first pets in the White House than any other creature.
I would think. Yeah. I would think.
That's me going out on a limb and betting, hedging my bets there. But I would think, and no offense to the cat people, but I get it. I would much rather, I think, as far as companionship goes, I think dogs are better companions, personally.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have horses kind of as a hobby and a pet, and several people get really, really close to their horse and kind of a, I don't know.
I could see that too, but like you can't bring them in your house, right? So we're talking about how people personify and they humanize their pets, but like...
They can't sleep in the bed with you. Typically,
yeah. I have seen one horse inside someone's actual home.
Pigs, like potbelly pigs, you know, many people have indoor
potbelly, mini pigs. So again, kind of going on that whole like fandom stardom thing. I think the guy who starred in Harry Potter had a mini pig at one point, or a pocket pig, whatever they were called. And then suddenly those like lit up on the internet.
Yeah.
I think the popularity of them has kind of gone down. But anyways, I think it's interesting. I look forward to seeing some other pets in the White House. However, German Shepherds, I think, are not a breed that I would see.
Choice. Yeah. So he historically had an adult German Shepherd, I think, named Major, he being President-elect Biden. And then I think during coronavirus, he adopted from a shelter another German Shepherd or German Shepherd mix. Mm-hmm. And then do you think they have a cat or are getting a cat?
I think it's they're acquiring a cat. Yeah, they're getting one.
So that's interesting. Two German Shepherds and a cat. Good luck. To be determined cat name. So real quickly, Pfizer approved the first coronavirus vaccine.
The FDA approved Pfizer's vaccine.
FDA approved Pfizer's vaccine. And so it's going to be rolling out. The trucks and Delta and other airlines are going to spread it across the world. But I don't know when the general population will be offered the vaccine. And I don't know if we as critical infrastructure or essential workers will be in that phase 1B rollout of it. So phase 1A is going to be kind of the frontline human healthcare workers, which that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But the AVMA is really pushing, I guess, the state health departments and CDC to include veterinarians in that next phase as critical infrastructure, because we are, you know, we're working with each other in a group setting, all wearing masks, but then we're seeing the general public. We're still curbside, although we're letting some people in certain situations. So hopefully that's the case. And then I read something this morning, you know, as a business, are we going to require our employees to be vaccinated, or can we? And I don't know that we can require that. We can suggest it. But
so before Corona, right, like the fact that we take temperatures, or you walk into a building and they take your temperature, historically that would have been
violation of
illegal.
Yeah.
But there are, so I'm interested to see like what will happen after December 31st. So I do know like the CARES Act kind of expires on the 31st. So the people that were doing like payroll deferred, taxes, you know, I'm talking about the mm-hmm. income tax defer. What is the word?
I'll think of it in a minute. I know what you're talking about.
Social
the taxes, you know, delaying, not pulling taxes out of your check.
Yeah. So that will end on the 31st of this year. I'm assuming that the, you know, the coronavirus pay for those medium to small businesses, you know, that we have fortunately been able to do, but unfortunately required to do, I guess.
I think the government's going to come out with another stimulus package of some sort, and there's going to be a lot of...
You think it's all going to be extended?
Yeah, in some form or fashion, especially once Biden gets in.
So I guess to your point as far as requiring, A, I think there's a lot of controversy over the vaccine anyways. I think if you are a company and you require it, you're kind of putting yourself in a hairy situation, right?
What if an individual has a vaccine reaction?
Yeah, if there's a reaction, or if, you know, if you lose part of your workforce because people refuse, you know, I don't know. I think anytime that things are required like that for human beings, it's going to cause problems personally.
Yeah.
But there are,
it's going to be a gray zone, right?
Rules are, you know, there are statements out there that some like big corporations and that kind of thing are going to require it. So, I don't know, I guess hopefully the worst is over and we're kind of getting back through it. But I do think that this will give us another ripple now that the vaccine is available.
Yeah. I mean, there are a gamut of clients and friends, and not family necessarily, but people that they're all over the place. You know, I look at one individual and think there's no way they would want to be vaccinated. Oh, they can't wait for the vaccine because mm-hmm. it's going to make them feel safer and they feel like they can do this, that, or the other. And then, you know, you have another person who is going to wait 6 months or 6 years to make sure the vaccine's safe. So interesting.
So sure. Since we're on the coronavirus thing, so, you know, we've talked a lot about minks and how the minks are being depopulated and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So recently there was an article that says ferrets, cats, and civets, C-I-V-E-T-S. Do you know what that is?
C-I-V-E-T-S. I have no idea what a civet is.
Do you have your phone? Let's look it up real quick, because I don't know what that is either. But they're ferrets, cats, and civets, or civets, I don't know how you pronounce it, are most susceptible to coronavirus infections after humans. So I thought that was super interesting, right? Because we've talked about the mink. And basically, the first line here says humans, followed by ferrets, and to a lesser extent, cats, civets, and dogs are the most susceptible.
Well, here's why you don't know what a civet is. It is a small, lean, mostly nocturnal mammal native to tropical Asia and Africa, especially the tropical forest. The term civet applies to over a dozen different mammal species. Most of the species diversity is found in Southeast Asia.
Okay, well, now I don't feel very uneducated about it.
So all this started in China, the whole bat at the Chinese wet market in Wuhan. And so now civets.
Yeah, so I thought it was interesting. So again, humans, ferrets, to a lesser extent, cats, civets, and dogs. So I thought that was interesting because we were talking about mink. And so then I started to look. I was like, mink and ferrets look alike, but are they actually related? So they are. They're in the same classification, Musteliade. So mink, ferret, otters, and interestingly, wolverines are in that same category. I would
have a wombat?
Thought a wolverine was more, maybe, because there's like 50
canine,
to 60.
You would think.
Yeah, I would think so. But actually,
I think it's more like a badger, though.
So badgers are Musteliade, or however you pronounce that. But basically, that group is a carnivorous mammal. But it's not.
So an otter is not.
A dog. An otter is.
Yes, okay. I'm just thinking all these, you know,
I know,
little
right?
20-pound fuzzy
it's
things
like
with big
so
tails.
So interesting.
And honey badger?
A badger. I'm assuming, you know, the species of honey badger is in there as well. But I really thought it was super interesting on the wolverine thing because, as we've discussed many times, like Lance is a huge University of Michigan fan and their mascot is a wolverine. We've been to the Detroit Zoo and we've seen the wolverine there.
That's interesting.
And I would have always thought it was closer related to a dog. However, hold on one second. Ferrets and minks are closer related to dogs and canines than they are to rats and mice. According to like the kingdom, phylum, genus, species. Yeah.
I was just going to point out, this is twice today, only once on air. I say Detroit.
Oh, gosh.
But you say Detroit.
Here we go.
Detroit. You talked about a jacket earlier, like a Detroit jacket, and now Detroit. But I'm from Texas. I talk a little weird. And so especially now that I've been in Georgia for over 20 years, but
I've been ridiculed lately on my speech.
I know it's the D, but it's
Yankee?
Detroit. Yeah. Yes.
How do you say it?
Yankee.
Okay. So how is that different than how I say it?
You said Yankee.
Yankee.
Yankee. You said Yankee. Anyway.
I did not. So okay. You don't say Detroit.
I say Detroit.
Detroit.
Yes.
Okay.
Us learned folks pronounce it Detroit.
Well, anyways.
So we still don't know as far as the whole cat thing. We do know that some pets are reportedly testing positive for coronavirus. But one, we are not seeing clinical disease. And two, there's not been a documented case of a
pet transmission
back to humans.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else before we wrap up?
One little thing I wanted to mention. So, again, Facebook is all inviting all these things, right? So there is a story about a little dog who was rescued earlier this fall, hit their 74-year-old owner, basically ripped this 4-month-old puppy out of the jaws of an alligator in Florida. I think it's super interesting. So now that dog became viral. The video has gone viral. The dog is super famous and locally it's going to be used to help teach children in the area about safety. So like school bus safety. I guess they have this like whole program where they use dogs and help educate children, but school bus safety. And then of course in Florida, like the alligator safety,
stranger danger as well. So how long ago was it that there was a family that was visiting Disney World in Florida and staying on property, and I think it was like a 2 or 3 year old toddler went missing and they suspected it was eaten by an alligator.
That's terrifying.
That?
No, not at all.
It's not been that long ago. Within
I'll
the last
never
four
go
or
to Florida
years.
If that's the case.
So, yeah, I mean, you can stay on property if you want, but yeah, They never found the child. That was just crazy. Tragic.
One last thing to top off our podcast, kind of getting back into the holiday spirit. We've talked before about like Coors during the pandemic, you know, they were basically making it cool for you to drink alongside your dog. So now Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light has teamed up with Bark. So the makers of like Bark Box, which I'm assuming is like a massively booming business for them.
I would think.
But they've teamed up and now they're selling 7 packs of beer. So not to be mistaken for dog drinking beer, but actually they'll sell you a 6-pack with a dog toy that is a beer bottle shape. I think it's genius. They encourage you, you know, to sit back and relax and kick back and drink a beer with your dog, but obviously,
not give them.
There are some companies out there that are making like dog friendly beers. This is not that at all, but I think it's super cool. They sell it in a 7-pack. And so there's like a container and everything, like the 6-pack container has an extra space where this dog toy goes.
That'll show up in the Atlanta market. If, you know, if you'll see it on the shelf or if it won't be in a pet store cause they can't sell alcohol.
Yeah. So. I don't know, but it's called Bark Light. There is a website. I think it's going for $20, which I don't think is that bad. I don't know what the going rate of a 6-pack of beer is, $11, $12.
Depends on is it domestic or not. So probably $7 to $12.
Yeah. I would say yeah, and then a dog toy. Those I personally have paid $35 for one. So
wow.
I think $20 for a 6-pack of beer and a dog toy is not that bad. But you can get this at shopbeergear.com.
Shopbeergear.com.
Yeah, so to your point, I don't know if it'll show up locally or if it's going to be online only, but I thought it was very cool.
The last sentence says all products are only available, well, for a limited time. I thought it was going to say online.
Mm. But if anyone's looking for a neat Christmas gift.
Yeah, very cool.
You heard it here first, guys.
Yeah, and the dog toys, it looks like come in 2 different sizes. So.
They do for dogs of different sizes.
Yeah, very cool.
Very cool. All right. So, wrap things up.
Wrap it up.
All right, guys. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Please subscribe or download this podcast wherever you're listening. And make sure to follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our website. Read our blogs, mygavet.com. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys. Happy holidays to everyone.